Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
This is original 102.5 The Bone On Demand Audio.
Jive.
And, of course, TM Pal Media.
This is his theme song.
Is it?
Yep. This is what I play every time TM's on. Movies by Alien Ant Farm.
You know, I didn't even realize that. That's neat.
Yeah. Cute, cool. Right?
I like it. I'm sure he appreciates it. Let's go to the hotline right now and talk to him, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. He's a reg on the show. He is our movie critic, your movie critic. This is TM Pal. What's up, bud?
Dude gave me a theme song. I like it.
Are you an Alien Ant Farm fan?
I don't mind them, put it that way.
Same.
It's not a bad song to come out to.
I think
you know, always think about that, like, when people were coming out talking about how they were really going to do the punch out, like, really get into it, come in with music. I'm like, man, I, like, wonder what my walk down music would be. Like, would it be something stupid and silly, like, as a joke, or would I take it seriously, or be something fun? I pretty much came to the conclusion I would definitely come down to a song that everybody knew that everyone could kind of sing to real quick. Because that will get everybody pumped up. So if I got knocked out, it wouldn't matter. I still made everybody happy.
Well, consider Alien Ant Farm movies if you ever do fight in a punch out.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we'll keep that. But I'm never fighting in the punch out. No, we're good.
Doesn't seem like a good time, does it? I did that recently. I was at a comedy show, and the sound booth operator said, "What do you want for your walk-up music to the stage?" And I said, "I don't care, man." And I was really just trying to you know, not be a problem, you know. Most of the time, I don't care. It's whatever, you know. And then I went up to "Let's Hear It for the Boy" by Denise Williams, which I thought was it was a classic, but I was it was a little weird, you know, walking up to that. And, "My baby may not be cute." Yeah, it was.
I thought it was gonna be this one.
Ooh. Yes. Not bad.
Oh, this is the freaking music video. We got
no, that's the song. That's how the real song goes.
No, that's how it starts. Yeah, it starts.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, they give their attention.
Yeah.
Next time, Johnny.
Oh, I would go up on stage to that. 100%. That's a jam, dude.
That's your theme song, bro.
That's fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad you like
it. I don't care.
I did it as a joke, but I'm glad you like it.
I don't care, man. I don't care. They could pour gallons of milk on me as I'm walking up on stage. I don't care. It's all about entertaining, you know? It's about the crowd, not me. So, speaking of entertaining, TM Powell, you have seen a movie that I'm quite interested in. Rotten Tomatoes has it at 88% right now at the beginning of their votes. And I believe it premieres tonight, if I'm not mistaken, if not tomorrow. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which sounds like a movie about me, but it's not. Explain to people. It's Nick Cage in an action movie about Nick Cage, or am I wrong?
So it's very meta. I will tell you that. Like, fourth wall breaking at times. You know, it really is breaking the fourth wall on itself, if that makes sense. Not really to the audience, more of, like, himself, if that makes sense. Like, but it is supposed to be Nicolas Cage. Now, it's a heightened version of Nicolas Cage, kind of like with Matt LeBlanc on Episodes or, you know, other shows where people have played themselves. This is a, you know, kind of a heightened version of him. But I do think there's some truth kind of bleeding through because it's a lot like, hey, you know, I do this as a job. That's why I've been doing all these movies, direct to video. It's a job. I want to keep working. I didn't want to stop working. You know, like, he explains that in the movie. And then other right. times he'll be like, you know, I never went away. He keeps saying that to himself, you know, and he's kind of right. He was still working and doing everything, but, you know, it wasn't on the same level, I guess, we were used to from him, because once upon a time, I mean, he was like one of the biggest action stars out there, you know, the stretch of, you know, The Rock, you know, Con Air, Face Off. Say what you want about those 90s action movies now, looking back on them, but they were huge at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of some of my favorite Nick Cage movies, and we'll get that too. We'll get there in a minute. I want to hear, like, yes, what you thought of Unbearable Weight. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically what the story revolves around is he's kind of got some financial troubles and he's missing out on roles. So somebody offers him to come to basically his like place overseas to spend have a party with him, to be with him for like $1 million. That's what he's going to pay him. Just come hang out, be with him, you know, for $1 million. And that's played by Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian. And it's a lot about there's all these other twists and turns, like the CIA gets involved because they think this guy may be shady. But it's also about like their kind of adventures together and like kind of a foreign land. I will say there are moments that are very funny in it. I mean, just, you know, hilarious. And I think it's smart at times, but then other times I will say it's a little hot and cold with the quirkiness and, you know, the meta humor and everything else. There's some things that really work in it. And then I just think there are some things that a little bit of missed opportunities, the way the film morphs kind of almost into a Nicolas Cage film by the end of it. But I still thought it was entertaining. I still thought it was fun. And I thought Nicolas Cage was great in it. Like, it was the perfect role for him playing himself. It was very, you know, self-serving in a lot of ways, but it probably was a little bit therapeutic for him as well to kind of explain to people, hey, you know, I just kept working. It may not have been the movies you thought, you know, that I should be in, but I just wanted to keep working, and that's what I did. And listen, they do make light of the financial problems because I think Nick Cage's been married like 3 or 4 times, you know.
Yeah.
He's probably got some alimonies to pay. And, you know, he had some financial risk, you know. He was a big spender. He loved, like, you know, nostalgia and memorabilia stuff, you know, big comic book guy. So, I mean, yeah, they talk about their financial stuff, but at the end, you know, they still make that comment of, you know, you never went anywhere. You're still Nick Cage, and that's what it's about. And I do think people still like him. Like, I mean, we like him because I think a lot of us have, like, kind of a nostalgic feeling for him. But at the same time, I mean, dude's got an Oscar, and he's got another Oscar nomination besides that. It wasn't like he was some just an action star. Like, Nicolas Cage was a great actor. He still is.
Yeah, I thought Face Off was one of the most underrated movies in the 90s. I thought him and Travolta were so good in that movie because you really felt the characters when they flipped, you know, faces. And I don't know. What did he win an Oscar for? What movie?
Leaving Las Vegas.
That's right. Another good one. Yeah. So,
yeah, and that was just a couple years before that. It's the most depressing movie, but that's what he won for. And I'm pretty sure he's nominated for adaptation too, where he's playing twin brothers in that, which is an excellent film. And I could be wrong about that. I'm maybe talking out my ass, but he was very good in that film. And he's also done some fun voice work. I mean, he was awesome as Spider-Man Noir and Into the Spider-Verse recently.
Face
Off is, you know, it's all over the top, but in all the right ways, if that makes any sense. It's ridiculous, but it's awesome. And one of the reasons it's awesome is Nick Cage is so great at it.
Yeah, he was a fantastic. Definitely the better between him and John Travolta, but I also thought it was one of Travolta's better roles, too. But yeah, just super entertaining and all that. Man, going through his movies though, how many movies is Nick Cage in? I mean, a ton. I mean, just starring roles, but when you're talking about like supporting roles, my God, this guy is—he's almost Kevin Pollak with this IMDb here with all the movies he's in. It's nuts.
Isn't his thing is that he doesn't say no to anything if they pay him enough money? He does it because he was in so much debt, so he has to work to pay off that debt, right?
Yeah, they hinted that at the movie, and there's some, you know, probably some blending of reality there, if that makes any sense, probably in real life. It's the truth. He said, you know, I'm an actor. That's what I do. I want to keep working. Like, that's what the movie character kind of explains himself. Like, hey, you know, there was jobs. This is what I do. What was I supposed to do? Not work? You know?
Right.
So, and a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. But he's been at it for, I mean, a long time. He's in Valley Girl. And I was going to find a way to talk about this, but I say to this day, if Raising Arizona comes out today, it's showered with Oscars, considering how we all feel about the Coen brothers now. Back then, people didn't know what to think of them. And I've said this before. I mean, it may not be my favorite movie. Trust me, it's definitely one of my favorite movies. But when I like kind of call something out as like a perfect movie, like, hey, that's a perfect movie for what it's supposed to be. That is perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get much better than Raising Arizona. I mean, the first 15 minutes of that movie explain the whole movie to you. Lay it all out in front of you. Get rid of all the exposition in 15 minutes in a really fun way. Like, you know, he keeps getting arrested and everything else, and then they get married, and then explains the whole story to you. And I also think it's a little underrated for a couple of the action scenes. I mean, I know everyone's laugh when he robs the place and he's running with the Pampers and everything else, but that scene is like really well done, how it's edited and put together and filmed and shot and the pacing. Yeah. And then obviously the showdown at the end with the biker from hell. So, right, I mean, there's a lot of great things in it, but the biggest thing to me about Raising Arizona is the story is has a lot of heart. I mean, it's about baby kidnapping.
Yeah.
But at the end, you still feel terrible for that family, even though they were so in the wrong.
Yeah, yeah. They just want to have a baby, you know? Poor Hal. My favorite line, though, in the whole movie. Do you want to guess what my favorite in the whole movie is?
Well, there's so many. That's the other thing about Raising Arizona. It's so quotable. I will tell you mine. Mine is so many social engagements, so little time.
That's a good one.
Table eating breakfast. Yeah.
Mine is, do these balloons come in funny shapes? Well, if you think round's funny, I don't know why that's so good to me, man. It's so funny. Every time I saw the movie, that cracked me up. Yeah.
I got mine right here, ready to go.
What is it?
Listen.
Go ahead.
Government do take a bite, don't you?
Boy, you got a penny on your head. Yeah, there's so many. Yeah. So good.
And there's just so many great scenes, too. I mean, I always laugh at the fart scene where the kids already knows his ABCs. Hit the deck, yeah. Boy. Screw the M&M's at the kid.
You're going to make me watch it this weekend. I'm going to watch it. Dang it.
Yeah, it's so good. And I think it's one of those movies, like, the more you watch it, the better it gets. And it's just grown over time. And I always say, man, look at that cast. I mean, you have Frances McDormand hiding out in, like, a small supporting role. John Goodman's in it, who is awesome in it. Holly Hunter, Nicolas Cage. You got two Oscar winners right there in it. And then there's just all these great supporting characters. Like, Nathan, the guy that plays Nathan Arizona is great. I mean, I can't say on the radio, but when they're talking about describing the jammies he was wearing, one of the funniest things ever that Yoda was on them. Put it that way.
Uh-huh. Yep. Awesome, awesome stuff. Now, big movies coming out. To move forward, we have I'm trying to think of the big one coming out this month. Is it the Doctor Strange coming out in May? Is that the big one?
First of May is Doctor Strange. That'll be a big one. You know, I don't know if it's going to be Spider-Man big. See, that's the thing is, you know, I still think it's funny that, you know, there's some people still blaming COVID for their poor box office returns. And, yeah, they may have a point overseas. But I said that all went out the window when Spider-Man made $1 billion. I mean, we can't use that excuse because there you go. And they're like, well, yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah, that's the point. It still did what it was supposed to do being Spider-Man. So right. I think Doctor Strange is the next big one. I will see that. I already have my invite in my inbox for that, which is great. And they are kind of holding it a little bit close to the release date for us. And they were definitely kind of, you know, bringing it up in the email about, you know, not spoiling things. So I definitely think we have a lot of cameos and a lot of interesting things in that movie. And this will be one of the first ones Marvel gets. We had the Thor Love and Thunder trailer this week, too, which they finally released. And I was happy with that trailer not showing much because I do think over the last decade we've gotten to a habit of, well, not we, but studios gotten a habit of spoiling everything in the trailers. I mean, just spoiling it all. You know, I mean, poor comedies. I mean, they really spoil some stuff in comedy. But really spoiling some major things. And I think, you know, what we talked about all last year about when they kept dropping the Spider-Man trailers but weren't showing the Spider-Man, and we were all laughing, like, oh, come on, we know they're in it. That was a brilliant move at the end of the day, that they didn't show them. They didn't ruin what was special about their movie. So, yeah, they didn't show Christian Bale in the trailer. You know, he's going to play the villain. I think that's a big deal for Marvel, is getting someone like that involved. But, you know, the one thing I said about the trailer is you had me at Guns N' Roses. As soon as I heard Slash's guitar, I'm all in.
Yeah, that all the Thor movies are pretty good. Yeah, they're going to be super entertaining. The trailer was really, really good. Also, we have Top Gun, which is that's supposed to be next month also, right?
I think that is in June, I believe. Okay. And that's going to be one that I think a lot of us are sleeping on. Now, I know a lot of people roll their eyes like, oh, it's just come out 2 years ago. Well, there's a lot of things that were supposed to come out when they, you know, and they didn't. So this has been one that has suffered the delay because we've talked about this. Cruise is huge international. You've got to have that international market open when you release this film. You have to do it with them because that's how you're going to make your money back with this. But I do think that there is a big nostalgia factor that in Top Gun that people are overlooking. You know, I hosted a Top Gun screening at Tampa Theater. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to host a couple like The Wizard of Oz, you know, and I knew there'd be crowds there for something like that. But when I got there, I was like, man, it's going to be like 40 people here, you know, like, right. I'm like, you know, opening this thing up, there's going to be no one out here. When I peeked out the curtain, I mean, it was full house and there was people of all different ages. Now, I know Tampa Theater's nostalgic and they do the summer movie series, which is awesome there. I love it to go see older movies on the big screen. But still, right. That's people seeking out that movie. And that was a movie they chose that they thought they could bring in an audience with, and they did. So I think there's a lot of nostalgia with that. And also, I think it can work because you can update it for today and you know, make it a passing of the torch. And I think that's what they're going to do with it, and I'm fine with that. Listen, it worked with Ghostbusters Afterlife. It should work with Top Gun Maverick. If you can pass the baton and make these franchises keep going while still connecting to the old movies, that's the best route you can go because people love nostalgia.
Yeah, it looks good to me, too. And the reason why I'm asking, because these are the ones that I plan on seeing. Also, I'm going to go down the line. These are the ones that I've actually kind of put a check mark next to that I'm going to go see. Jurassic World, is that going to be summer or is that coming sooner?
That's June. Jurassic World, yeah. That's the third one. And that, you know, Dominion, that's going to be interesting because they're all in that. Once again, we talk about the nostalgia. Laura Dern, Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, all in this one with obviously Chris Pratt, you know, and Bryce Dallas Howard. So you're going to see this whole franchise kind of come together as one. Now, I'll be honest with you. I thought the last Jurassic World movie stunk. I thought it was silly. I didn't think it was very good. It was a mess of the story. But I loved Jurassic World. I thought it had some flaws, but as far as nostalgia and giving me a fun story and just kind of getting that franchise up and going again, and the idea of the theme park again, like how they actually pulled it off, you know, that's what I like. I was like, I could watch a fake documentary just about the theme park, you right. know, like just something like that. But I'm hoping that they go out, you know, with a big roar. I want them to see them do well at the end. I don't want to see them go out with a whimper. And, you know, I think if they can just tie it all together and bring all this nostalgia back to it, they have a chance of doing it. And I also think the idea of having the dinosaurs loose in the state is a cool idea. And maybe they do make more. And maybe they do make more, you know, after this with a different group. But I think as far as this group of the park people and the world people in the Jurassic franchise, this is going to be their bookend. This will be their closing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's what's interesting to me is that it's not set in just the park. They get out in the world. They're in the real ocean. You know, you see this big giant, I don't know, it looks like a huge alligator, but it's, you know, the size of a megalodon. And you see, you know, these, you know, T-Rexes walking through city streets and all that. That's going to make it cool, I think, for a lot of people. So, I don't know. We'll see. I agree. They have to have a makeup for that last one because it was laughable, you know.
It was ridiculous in some scenes. Yeah. And they had a cool idea. What I said is they just got off the island too quick. And when they got back to that auction, it was silly. Like, what the hell are you doing getting off the island? That's where all the interesting stuff's going to happen, and you're done with it halfway through the movie. It made no sense. It reminded me a lot of The Lost World when they got off the island and took it to San Diego. It just got to be like a Looney Tunes cartoon at that point.
Absolutely. Will, do you have any questions about any movies?
Not movies, but I did see something today in TV that I thought was very interesting. I saw a report that Stranger Things 4, which I guess is the last season, $30 million an episode.
What?
Insane.
Did you hear that?
$20 million for the whole season, they said, yeah. And they're all going to be over an hour long. And, yes, they're saying $30 million an episode. Now, I will say this, you know, series like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, you know, Hawkeye, obviously now Moon Knight, they carry big price tags, and they're sometimes smaller, you know, but they're carrying pretty decent-sized movie budget price tags. But when I saw that today, I was like, oh, my God. Now, they've been gone a while, so I will say this. Their expectations coming back may be insurmountable. They've been gone too long. We saw this with The Sopranos, Johnny. Remember how we acted when The Sopranos came back? It was never good enough for us because they were gone for so long. You know, they would be gone forever. And there's a part of me that worries that they've been gone a long time. But the fact that I heard that they're dumping all this money into it, and I, you know, by the looks of the trailers, it looks cool. Now, I will say this. This isn't the last season. They'll go one more time in season 5, and they'll probably break it up. What I was going to wait and see what they do, but I think they're too far down the line, is if they do staggered episode releases. Now, I know they're doing like Ozark with part 1 and part 2 of the season at different times, but I'm talking about a true stagger, Johnny, week to week, because I will tell you that's one thing I think Netflix has going against them, where Disney Plus or like a Hulu, you know, or any HBO Max's original series. They're going week to week, like with Peacemaker. You know, you have it week to week. So you continuously have buzz for 2 months. Sometimes in Netflix, buzz is over with in about a week and a half because everybody's binged it right away.
But that was that was the thing about the app that was so great, is that you could binge shows. And I mean, Netflix's stock price is in the toilet right now. They're blaming it on people sharing passwords, which, I mean, could be true. But I'm sure it's a lot of different things. But $30 million an episode.
They're also $15.99. They're more expensive than anybody else these days. Yeah. And here's the deal. When they had that instant gratification where they gave you everything at once, there wasn't a Disney Plus. There wasn't an HBO Max. Right. There wasn't a Hulu that was really up and going. Now you have shows like Only Murders in the Building on Hulu making noise. Pam and Tommy. The same thing with HBO Max, obviously with Peacemaker, and they're going to do more DC shows there. And you know, we all know about Disney Plus, what they've done. I mean, they have stormed onto the market, you know, and just, you know, way surpassed any subscribers they thought they were going to get. And I've said lately, too, that Netflix hasn't pulled me in because they have so many originals that they pump them out that I think things get lost in the mix. They also have a lot of trashy television now, and that seems to be taking over. I've said nothing's really pulling me in like it used to. Obviously, there's a couple things here and there, but it's not like how it was when, listen, we canceled Kevin Spacey, but at one point there were Stranger Things, there was House of Cards, there was a lot of different shows on that Netflix had that were big shows. But even Amazon Prime, they have a ton of stuff. The Boys is a big show on Amazon Prime, and that's
Marvelous,
you know, kind
Maisel.
Of there, too. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Jack Ryan. Yeah. There's a lot more streamers doing quality work. And I think Netflix just became this factory where they were just cashing checks and getting everybody in and throwing stuff out there. And like I said, there's too many movies and too much stuff over there. And, yeah, you can find stuff every once in a while, like a Squid Game, like a Bird Box. But, you know, I think they're becoming few and far in between. It's not like how they used to be where they had a couple of main series and that was it.
I can't believe I poured all my money on.
This is original 102.5 The Bone On Demand audio.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.